We're going to begin this section. What we're going to learn this year is this paragraph. This paragraph will probably take us about 3 weeks to discuss. And then afterwards, we're going to learn Az Yashir. We're going to learn Az Yashir carefully. Most people do not learn Az Yashir. Maybe like if, like in some Beisakos, they make you like memorize like Shir HaSayam or something like that for some reason. I don't know why. But nobody really learns Az Yashir that carefully. So we're going to learn the Shira. And then we're going to, hopefully, the goal will be twofold. One is that we should learn important emunah and hashkafa of how a Jew believes and thinks and lives from the Siddur, because the Siddur really is the most important text that we have to teach us about emunah. And we're also going to learn to understand what we're saying in the Siddur. Okay? So let's begin. This section of the Siddur, which I think some of us assume begins Vayivarech David, right? If you look at the paragraph before, it begins Vayivarech David, which is from the tefillah that David HaMelech wrote or composed, which is from Divrei HaYamim. That paragraph, it says in your siddur, probably say Divrei HaYamim. That's where it comes from. It concludes with the words U'mehalalim l'shem sifratecha. Right? That's the last word of Vayivarech David. Okay, and that's clear from the siddur of the Rokeach. The Rokeach is one of the Rishonim. And we have to look at the Siddurim of the Rishonim to know what their tefillos looked like, so we can model our tefillos as well. So if you look at the first source on the sheet, the Rokeach writes, L'shem Sifratecha, uv'yamim ha-kadmonim, in the olden days, k'shayu magiyim ad kan L'shem Sifratecha, when they got to this part, and they got to the words L'shem Sifratecha, hayash shaliach tzibur omed, the shaliach tzibur would stand up, u'maschil la'altar, and he would begin immediately, yishtabach shimcha, meaning, in the oldest Siddurim, says the Rokeach, the whole Shiras Hayam did not exist. That whole discussion was actually added later in the period of the Gonim. Okay, at some point in Jewish history, in the days of the Gonim, Hayaman Higas B'nei Doro, he instructed the people of the generation, Lomar Mikan Ve'elach Ad Shmo Echad. They added later on in Jewish history this whole section about Shiras Hayam, Ki Gadol Hayav Ein Kol Davar Ne'alam Yimenu, because it's a very big idea. Now we're going to learn eventually why was Az Yashir and Shiras Hayam put into the Siddur, and we're going to explain why it was actually very controversial. What is this section we're going to learn about for the next few weeks? These lines come from Sefer Nehemiah. Sefer Nehemiah Perek Tes, right? So if you look, whether you have an art scroll or you have a Koren, it will say before this paragraph, Nehemiah Perek Tes. Now, just as a quick clarification, the book Ezra and Nehemiah is really one book. It was divided by the printers into Ezra and Nehemiah. But in the language of Chazal, it's really just called Sefer Ezra. It's similar, as you all know, that there's Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis, right? And there's Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. It's really one book. But because it was too long, the printers divided it into two books. That's why you call it Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis. So let's read the context of what's going on in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah. Everyone has the next line there. Vayomru ha-Levim, and the Levim stood up. And this is at the dedication of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Levim stood up. Yeshua v'kadmiel b'nei chashvayna sharavei hodaya shavayna pishachi akum v'baruch v'as Hashem. These different Levim, these are their names, they got up, and they blessed Hashem alokech min ha'olam ad ha'olam, and they, you know, blessed Hashem, v'yavaruchu shen kvodecha, and they blessed the glory of God's name, umaromi malko brachu sila, and they said that Hashem is above all blessing and all praise, meaning Hashem is way beyond anything we could say, and then and that's the section that Nusach Ashkenaz begins, until Esrod Fei Mishracha B'msalos Kmo Evim B'mayim Azim. So again, that section that we call Ato Hashem Levadacha, or Nusach Svard call V'yavarchu Sheng Fodacha, depending on where you start, this is all from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. We have to understand now why. Why is it here? So the tour in Orachayim and Sinan Alf, the tour is the basis that the Shulchan Aruch is built on. The Tur brings the Minog to say V'yivarchu after V'yivarach David. U'betikun ha-ga'onim, meaning in the Siddur of the Gaonim, Yeshna Gimlomar, there was a custom to say V'yivarech Davidas Hashem l'nei kol ha-kal, until the words U'mehalalim l'shem sifratecha, which you all have in your Siddur, Kasher hu b'sefer Divrei Yamim, and this is a text that comes from the book Divrei Yamim, And then v'yavarchu shen kodecha ad shirasiyam. And then they would start recite these lines from the book of Nehemiah. And then they would say shiras hayam, kashir b'sefer Ezra v'shiras hayam. And that is really, this is important to know. Meaning in the Siddur, in the text of the Siddur that was said in the days of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they did not say this section of Atah Hashem Levadacha or Shiras Hayam. The Gemara is finished around the year 500. Rashi is around the year 1000. So somewhere between the year 500 and 1000, the rabbis thought this was very, very important to put into our davening. The earliest source is the Seder Rav Amram Gon. The Seder of Amram Gon is the first Siddur ever written. Meaning, until that point, the people memorized the Siddur. And in the days of Rav Amram Gon, he lived around the year in the 800s, 900s, someone wrote him a question. He said to him, Rav Amram, what are we supposed to daven? We don't know. We live in this far-off country somewhere else. Can you send us what is tefillah? So Rav Amram Gon, who was the Gadol HaDor at that time, again, around the 800s, sat down and wrote out by hand the first full Siddur. Because in that point, it was just memorized by Chazanim. But now we have the first Siddur. So if you look in the Seder of Rav Amram Gon, again, the first Siddur the Jewish people ever had written out, he says, after we say, V'anachnu nevarach ka, right, posech haluka, we sell the halukas, hali nafshi es Hashem, haluka ki tov zirmel alkeinu ki naim, halu halu es min Hashem in Hashemayim, halu yashir l'Hashem shir chadash, halu halu es kel b'kadsho, right, we say Ashrei, followed by the five halalukas, which goes all the way back to the Mishnah, and then we say vayivarech David es Hashem, ad umahalim l'shem sefarsacha. So we see vayivarech David was already added in the days of the Gaonim. And we see the earliest recitation of the section from Ezra Nehemiah is really connected to the Minhag of Shiras Hayam. And this is the first important thing we need to know for tonight. This paragraph of Ezra Nehemiah is an introduction to Az Yashir. If I was going to make a title for your Siddur of what are we doing right now when we say Atah Hashem Levadacha, or we're saying V'yivarchu Shem Kodacha, what we're doing is that we are making an introduction to Shiras Hayam. This paragraph from Nehemiah is getting us ready to say Az Yashir. Because if you pay attention to the words, what is it all about? This section of Ezra Nehemiah is a summary of how Bnei Yisrael got to the water. In those communities that said Shiras Hayam, they added these psukim. And that's what we're doing here. So it's important when we're davening, we have to shift gears mentally. Until Vayivarech David and through Vayivarech David, I was saying the praises of David HaMelech, Shirei David Avdecha. But now that I get to the section of Vayivarechu Shem Kodecha or Atah Hashem Elokim, now I'm switching gears. I'm thinking Hashem. I'm getting ready to say Shiras Hayam. This section is introduction to say Shiras Hayam. Now, it's important to point out that this section we're about to learn, and we're about to learn for the rest of the year, caused a lot of problems for the Rishonim. Because from Baruch Shamar until Yishtabach, it's usher to have anything that's not Pesukei Zimra. You can't talk in between Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach, right? You can't do anything else. And now all of a sudden, what's supposed to only be Tehillim and the words of David HaMelech, we plop down in the middle something from the book of Nehemiah and Shiras Hayam. And this upset and made uncomfortable a lot of the Rishonim. What is it doing over here? How do we rationalize? And we'll discuss why it's here later on. Because the last words are really supposed to be, you know, the words of David HaMelech. In fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah in Perek Zion that in the community, the Rambam lived in the 1100s, the 1200s. He says the communities that would say Az Yashir and the things we're learning about this year, they would actually say them after Yishtabach. That's how bothered the Rambam was to say it inside of Baruch Shem Yishtabach, because it's only supposed to be the words of David HaMelech. They would say Shiras Hayam, but put it after Yishtabach, because they were so concerned. Nevertheless, the accepted minhag is that we say it inside Pesukei Dezimra as well. The content of the section clearly explains what it's doing here. Atah Hashem Levadecha is an introduction to Shiras Hayam. It's giving an overview of why we say Shiras Hayam and how we got to this place in history. If you read the English, you'll see that's what it is. No great chidushim and no great idea to add to that. It's literally a summary of the history of the Jewish people and how they got to Yamsuf. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so interested in the Jewish people, and he was so interested in being personally involved in our lives and in drowning Paro. And why did Hashem reveal his Shechina to us in the desert? What is it about it? And Nehemiah and Ezra explain how we got to this point. There's actually a similar version of this in Sefer Devarim. If you look in the next source in Devarim Perek Yud, the pasuk says as follows: Hein la Shem Elokecha, Shemayim Shmei Shemayim, Haaretz Kol Shabbat. The heavens and the whole world belong to Hashem. Hashem is this powerful being who is way beyond any human comprehension. Rak ba'avusecha chashek Hashem le'ava. But Hashem only loved your forefathers. Osam v'yivchar b'zar ma'achareyam. And he chose their descendants. Bachem mikol ha'amim kayom hazeh. What's the Torah telling us? It's remarkable. Hashem is this master of the universe who fills every single space and have whatever he wants. And he's interested in our forefathers and us. That's like a very humbling thing. And that's what we're saying here. The general idea of this paragraph from Nehemiah is Hashem is this master of the universe who controls everything, but he cares so deeply about the Jewish people. Why? What is it about us that Hashem is so intrigued about and Hashem is so interested in, which we'll have to try to work on and answer later on. In Psukei Dezimra, we talk about the praises that Hashem is Melech HaOlam, Hashem is master of the universe. He's so powerful, he can do whatever he wants. But at the end of Psukei Dezimra, we focus on the idea that Hashem is not just Melech HaOlam, but he's Melech Yisrael. And we transition, where it's a different type of davening in the Psukei Dezimra. The beginning of Psukei Dezimra, the first 80% is Hashem is this overwhelmingly amazing being. And now it becomes more intimate that Hashem cares deeply about the Jewish people. And we have to explain why the Melech HaOlam is so interested in being Melech Yisrael. We are telling the story from the beginning of time until Kriyas Yamsuf. That Hashem, who is this Lord who created the world and everything, he chose Avram and he made a promise to him that he would give him his children Eretz Yisrael. And since his children underwent the burden of Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their suffering through them and he made his name great and known throughout the world. And that's the idea over here that we're trying to bring out. Okay, should we begin looking at the actual text? We're only going to discuss three psukim tonight, okay? Yeah.
We're saying like that like we are leading up to Yom Suf.
Yeah.
But then like David came after, so why are we saying like Vayivarech David right before we say this?
Vayivarech David has nothing to do with this. Vayivarech David are more praises of David Melech. David wrote Tehillim, and then in Sefer Divrei Yomim he had another tefillah as well that at some point in Jewish history the rabbis thought was important to add as well. So we added to the Zimra. But that's what I want you to know. I want you to have a break in your mind. After Vayivarech David is done, we have to switch gears. Until now, it was all about David HaMelech praising Hashem as this master of the universe. And now we're switching gears to talk about why Hashem is interested specifically in us, the Jewish people. Okay? The Minag of Sfardim and Nusach Sfard, we want to try to cover all of our different friends here tonight, so we're going to talk Nusach Sfard and Nusach Ashen. How many people have done Nusach Sfard besides... Do? Okay, fine. We'll do a little bit of Nusach Sfard, mostly Nusach Ashkenaz, okay? So the minhag of Sfardim and Nusach Sfard is to begin this section from Ezra with the pasuk of V'yavarchu Shem Kvodecha U'meromeim Al Kol Brachu Tehillah. That we bless Hashem's glory, and he's way beyond. Now again, our Nusach Ashkenaz friends have no idea what I'm talking about, because this does not appear in your sitter. But our two Nusach Sfard friends know exactly what I'm talking about. So what is that? That line is the line, but if I had a book of Ezra Nehemiah, that's just the next line before this paragraph in Ezra Nehemiah. Just very, very quickly, the Igrid Zepirka. The Igrid Zepirka is the Bnei Yisachar, was one of the great Hasidic rabbis. So he writes in Os Shinyud Beis, and he defends the practice of Nusach Sfard based on a comment of the Zohar HaKadosh and Parsha Shlach, and he says that the Malachim praise Hashem by saying L'cha Hashem HaGadula V'HaGvura, which is from Vayivarech David, and they conclude U'meromeim Al Kol Brachu Tehillah, which is the line from Nehemiah, and therefore, I'm not going to read it inside right now, but the Bnei Yisachar says, this is the reason why Nusach Sfard says this, they add this line based on a section of the Zohar and Parsha Shlach, and that is the, and that's the reason why Nusach Sfard says this. Those who don't follow this Nusach have a problem. Or, let me say it this way. Nusach Ashkenaz has a problem with Nusach Sfard. Why? Because we have a rule from the Gemara, and that rule is, we don't say half Pesukim. If you say a Pesuk, you have to say the whole Pesuk. Kol pasuk delo paskin on Moshe Rabbeinu. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu did not divide up his way, we may not divide it on our own. When you cite any pasuk, you should never stop in the middle or start in the middle. You should always say the whole pasuk. That's the rule. Okay? Everyone's got that rule? The problem is, with Nusach Sfard, this line of Yivarchu Shem Kvodecha is the middle of a pasuk. Okay? So the reason why Nusach Ashkenaz disagrees is because we don't want to have a half pasuk. That's why we don't say it. Yeah. No, everybody agrees to the psukim. Everybody agrees to the breaking up of the verses. But when we ever say, I'll give you an example. In many homes, Friday night, when they begin Kiddush, they'll say Yom HaShishi, right? Why do they do that? Because it spells out Yud Hey Vav Hey. They want to spell Hashem's name. The problem, though, which all the commentaries ask is, but that's the middle of a pasuk. How do we do that? So all the commentaries debate why it's okay and why we do it. But generally, we try not to say half psukim in our davening. We try to say the whole pasuk. Okay, let's jump in together. Now we're all on the same page. We got Nusach Sfar out of the way. Let's jump in together. We're going to learn the three psukim. Everybody looking inside. Everyone has a sitter next to them or a sitter of a friend. Yes, we're all sharing. Okay, so let's see. We're going to begin with a beautiful piece from Rav Yaakov Skili. Rav Yaakov Skili was one of the Rishonim. He's a student of the Rashba. And he wrote a sefer called the Toras HaMincha. Look at what he writes over here about the powerful depth of this pasuk. Okay. Actually, is there another sitter I can borrow?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to have a sitter also. Rav Yaakov Skili, he says something fascinating about this opening pasuk. Okay. He says, well, let's just read the pasuk together, and let's. Make sure we translate it so we have a full understanding of what's going on. Okay. Okay. Everyone sees there? Atau Hashem Elokim. Sorry, wrong one. Atau Hashem Levadecha. Atau Sises HaShemayim, Shmei HaShemayim, V'chol Tzva'am, Ha'aretz V'chol Asher Aleha, Hayamim V'chol Asher Bahem, V'atam Mechayes Kulam. Utsva Hashemayim l'cha mishnachavim. Let's read and translate that together so we're all on the same page. It is you alone, Hashem. You have made the heaven, the highest heaven, and all their legions, the earth and everything upon it, the seas and everything in them. You have given them life, and heavenly legions bow to you. Okay? So says the Torah Samincha. Lo nimtza b'shum makom sipur shvachav shel hamakom b'shemus k'mozeh. There is no place anywhere in Tanakh, he says, where you have such a complete praise of Hashem like this pasuk. V'ein b'riya yechol l'kalo l'faresh kolkach shvachos b'milos k'tzaros k'ilu. No human being could ever take this incredible praise of Hashem and boil it down to such few words. Sharei b'tchila yichudo shmo levado shenamar atah Hashem l'odacha. First we talk about yichud Hashem. That Hashem is the source of everything and Hashem is Echad. Right? Hashem, you are one. Ki tchilas kol shevach v'halel hu liyached shmo levado. The beginning of all praises of God, as we all know is Yichud Hashem. That Hashem is one and Hashem is behind everything. V'achar zeh yaches lo levado. And then we attach to Hashem's oneness kol hametziya shur yisparach. If Hashem is in charge of everything. Himtziu miyito be'aso betachlis Hashem. That Hashem does everything perfectly. Atasisas Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim Chosam. That Hashem, you made the heavens and all the heavens and all the legions and all the planets and everything that exists in the world. Says Rav Yaakov Skili in the Torah Samincha, what a powerful praise of Hashem. We are boiling down our relationship with Hashem, what Hashem is, into this one sentence. And in these few lines, we're speaking about a very deep and profound idea. We're speaking about the total achdus and unity of Hashem, that everything comes from Him. And once we establish that Hashem is one and everything comes from Him, we can then add, Atah Asisas Hashemayim, you made the heavens, on and on and on as well. If you see here, we have a source here from the Sefer, Yosher Divrei Emes, he says this as well. He says in the next source, Atah Hashem Levadecha, Vatzalomar, Ein Od Ba'olam, Rak Hashem Yisparach. There's only Hashem in the world, and there's nothing else. Kenizkar, B'shem Hashlaf, Be'achakach Omar, and then we say Atah Asisa. So says the Torah Samincha, that's a very powerful praise. First I say, Hashem, you are one, and everything comes from you, and You made everything in the world. And that's how we open up our praise of Hashem, right? Hashem is Melech HaOlam, but still he's so interested in us. Okay, let's go on to the next words here. Again, Atah Hashem Levadecha, Atah Sisa, Es HaShemayim, Ushmei HaShemayim, L'chol Tzom. Well, if it's, what's heaven and the heaven's heavens? What's Shmei HaShemayim? So it's a good question, right? What does that mean? You made the Shemayim and the Shmei HaShemayim. I would think Shemayim should just include everything, right? So this pasuk is actually very similar to a pasuk you all know from the Ten Commandments. Ki sheishis yamim, hasas Hashem as shemayim desaretz, and six is Hashem made the heaven and earth, es hayam v'skol sherbam, the seas and everything in it. Let's look at the Bereishis Rabbah. There's a beautiful medrash in the Bereishis Rabbah that teaches us about the extra detail of Maisa Bereishis. Heichan gilgal hachama ulvana nusanim. Where does the balls of the sun and the moon, where do they rest? Where does Hashem put them? Birakia hasheni. You are learning Bereishis this year, so you guys know what a rakia is? A little bit? Okay, it's complicated. It's something in the sky. There's multiple heavens, things like that. So the Medrash says that the sun and the moon go into the Rakia Hasheni, the second level, right? Hashem put them in the Rakia. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Abba Omar. Mikra malehu v'anshe knesa gadola pirsho. So this is in fact a pasuk. It's a pasuk that we daven every day. Atahu Hashem levadecha atah asisas Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim v'chol tzom. Heichan hu kol tzvam hanusim. Where are the planets and the heavens and the stars and the moon and all those things? Berakia shu lamala min Hashemayim. It's the rakia that is above Shemayim. So says the Medrash, that's what it means, Shmei Hashemayim. The Shemayim that's above Shemayim. What's the Shemayim that's above Shemayim? The second rakia. So when we say that Hashem made the Shemayim and Shmei HaShemayim, what it means is Hashem made the heavens and the also the region where Hashem puts the planets, whatever that means for us practically. But that's how we understand, that's what it means here, Shemayim Ushmei HaShemayim. Good? Let's go on to the next words. So Hashem is alone and he made the heavens and all everything in the heavens. Ha'aretz v'chol asher bam, and the land and everything, v'chol asher ala, and everything that's upon it. Hayamim v'chol asher bahem, ve'ata mechaye es kulan. And you, Hashem, you sustain everything. Okay? So that's what we want to understand right now. So the Metzudas David, if you look over there, says, ve'ata mechaye, ata no sein chiyus umbazun l'kulan. The simple meaning is what? That you provide the food, right? Human beings eat, you know, candy and chocolate chip cookies, and cows have straw, and chickens have, you know, corn, whatever it is. And Hashem, you are mechaya, meaning you give each individual thing in the world exactly what they need to live. However, there's a deeper understanding that is found in many of the Sifrei Machshava, and this is what we really want to focus on tonight about this idea. This is an idea that is found in Sifrei Chassidus. It's also found in early works of Machshava, in the Torah Sa'ola of the Rama, and the Nefesh HaChayim, and the Sefer HaBris, and the Chafetz Chaim, the Shmiras HaLashon. This is a Yesodistic idea. This is a foundational Jewish idea that we want to bring out over here. So you have in front of you the Sefer Arvei Nachal on Parshas Baal Oscha, right? You have that there? It's written by Rav David Shlomo Eibeshitz. Rav David Shlomo Eibeshitz was a chassid. He was a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Magad of Mezrich. And listen to what he writes over here. And he really, I'm choosing his words because he says it much clearly, much clearer and succinct than anybody else. So let's see how he explains this line of Vata Mechayes Kulam, that you give life to everything. Vinyan Hukach, the matter is as follows. Hine noda ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu ne'mar Hashem, it is said, V'yata mechayes kulam. This is what we say in the davening, right? You, Hashem, give life to everything. V'lo ne'mar hachayisa, that you gave life to everything. What does it say? It says that you give life in the present tense. Ela mechaye lashon hove, present. Ki lo k'midas basar v'dam, midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because humans are not like Hashem. Midas basar v'dam, achar sha'uman osa hakli, shuv ein hakli tzricha, El ha'uman ha'miskayem ezulaso. When someone made this table, or someone designed that picture, once they made the picture or the table, then they walked away. Do you need the artisan who made the table or the picture anymore? No. I did my job. I walk away. Person designed a car. They made a phone. They made a jacket. Whatever it is they did. Once the person, once the human makes that thing, and they remove themselves from that thing, so then that thing does not need them anymore. Masha'en kin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is unlike Hashem. Shebara kol ha'alamos v'kol ha'beruhim. Hashem made all the worlds and everything in it. Ein kula miskaimim bilti hashpas chiyuso. But they cannot exist without the influence of Hashem. If Hashem were to take his mind off of these things, or to stop influencing it, even for one moment, there's a lot of derech Hashem over here, v'lmala yitzur hafsek hashkachaso v'hashpas chiyuso, afilu rega, even for a moment Hashem stopped influencing this thing, kememra hayukol almos v'chol shebehem, b'telem mimitzias v'hayukolo hayu. They would stop to exist, and it would be as if they did not exist at all. And that is the meaning of V'yata Mechaye Eskulam. Hashem, you constantly are giving life to the world. Not that Hashem, you gave existence to the world, but at this very moment, Hashem, if you were to stop being interested in us, then we would all cease to exist. That's what we mean in those very powerful four words. It's a lot to unpack. We only have a few minutes of Sugya Zimra in the morning. And we see that every single word there has tremendous depth and meaning to think about. I want to develop this idea just a little bit further with a piece from the Tanya. Okay? I want to learn a piece from the Tanya together. This is from the Shar HaYichud V'Amuna in Perek Beis. The Tanya, written by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Chabad. So let's see what he says. Everybody has the piece over there in front of them? Yeah? Okay. He writes as follows. This is Perek Beis. In the opening chapter, so the Rebbe said that the divine life force which brings all creatures into existence has to be constantly present to recreate and to give them life. And was that if Hashem were to remove his life-giving force, even for a moment, everything would disappear, which we already established, right? Let's read inside. V'hine, mikan shuva saminim. From this idea, we can answer a heretical idea and explain why they're wrong. V'gilu yishorish tu'usam, and reveal what the root of their mistake. Hakofrim bashkacha pratis uva oso sumose haTorah. And I want to explain that those people are wrong who deny hashkacha pratis and the miracles recorded in the Torah. Shitoim bidimyonim hakozev, because they are making a mistake. What's the mistake? Shemedam and Maisa Hashem ose shemay v'aretz. They're comparing the work of God, the creator of heaven and earth, L'maisa enosh v'sach b'losav, to the work of man and our projects. Ki kasher yetze l'tzoref hakli. When a silversmith completes his silver bowl, shuv ein hakli tzarich li'adei hatzorev, the silver bowl no longer is dependent on the hands of the silversmith. Ki avshi adav nesulakos heimenu v'holech bo bashuk. Even once he removes his hands from the bowl, and he goes on his way into the street, Hakli kayam betavnuso. The vessel remains in the same image. V'tzalmo mamashka asher yetze midei hatzoreif. No different than when it was in the hands of the silversmith. Kach medamen hasechalim ha'ilu maisa shemayim v'aretz. The same way do these foolish people conceive the creation of heaven and earth. The people think that Hashem made the world, and he just walked away and let it go on its own. Okay, .. V'kol shekein, v'kal v'chomer, v'briyas yesh me'ayin. But how much more so it is with creation, when something came from nothing. She lemala me'ateva, and the creation of the world is so beyond the nature of the world. V'haflei v'fela yosim y'kriyas yamsuf. The creation of the world is more miraculous even than the splitting of the sea. The fact that we're here and we exist is insane. Al achas kama v'kama, shebistak l'sko ha'chabari min ha'nivra chas v'shalom. How much more so if Hashem were to remove his koach, his relationship with us? God forbid, yashuv ha'nivra le'ein efes mamash. We would all cease to exist. El etzarach lios koach ha'po'o b'nifal tamid, l'chayosu l'kumo. the activating force of Hashem has to be continuously present in the things that He created in order for us to exist. This is the same letters of speech that Hashem used when He made the 10 statements in order to create the world. And now it says, our Pasuk, as it says in Davening, Hashem, you give life to everything. Don't read it only that Hashem gives life, but that He brings into being. And that is what we're saying in those four words, that Hashem's essence and Hashem's will is that we exist. Let's just give a couple of understandings, and then we'll try to wrap it up, okay? The Shmos Rabbah has a different level of interpretation. Let's forget everything we just said, and let's just give two more pshatim. The Shmos Rabbah says, how is Hashem mechayes kulam? L'fishein malachei asharis nezunim ela miziv hashchin ishnamar v'yatam mechayes kulam. What the pasuk means is that Hashem sustains the malachim. What do malachim eat? What do they eat?
Nothing.
No, the Medrash is telling us. The Medrash says, "Ein malach hasharis nizorni elin miziv hashchina." They feed off the Shechina. That's what they eat. They eat the light of the Shechina, whatever that means. I have no idea. But they don't have regular food. Their existence comes from miziv hashchina. So another pshat in the pasuk is "Ve'atam mechayes kulam" means that you sustain even the malachim. That's pshat number two. The last pshat we'll say is from a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says in Daf Chaf Hey, Dama Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught, Bo v'nachzik tova labosenu. Come and let us be grateful to our ancestors. Shehodiu makom tfila, who revealed to us the place that we should daven towards. Dichsiv utzava shemayim l'cha mishtachavim. Right, this is the last line of that pasuk. And the Tzva HaShemayim, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they are mishtachim, they bow down to you. What does that mean? What does the Gemara mean here? The sun and the moon, how do they move in the sky? They move from east to west, right? The sun rises in the east and settles in the west, right? The moon, did everybody notice the moon rises in the east? You guys know that? What? Yeah, they go from the moon also, you just can't see the moon because it's light outside. But if you ever look outside in the morning, you'll see that it goes, that the moon rises in the east and it goes towards the west. So that means it looks like they are bowing, right? It looks like the sun and the moon are going towards east. So it looks like they are going down, they're bowing. So that indicates that the Shekhinah is in the west. Because the Pasuk says, the Tzva Shemayim, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they move towards and they bow towards Hashem. Well, if they go towards the west, it means that the Shekhinah rests in the west. What does that mean practically for us? Nothing right now. We're not going to get too involved in it, but just another pshat in those psukim as well. So that's what we did. We only spent tonight, this half hour, discussing one pasuk. But I think you'll see and appreciate that that one pasuk is jam-packed with a lot of important hashkafa, aspects of Emunah, and hopefully, you know, tomorrow morning we'll have a little bit better davening for those few words.